All right, praise God. We have been going through some wonderful things in the Word of God. Let us welcome Tanya. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
And this is Keith, and we're with Zion Hill Christian Center, and this is Dinner for Two. Drink from the cup of grace and eat from the bread of truth, Monday through Thursdays, 6:30 through 7:30 p.m. This is our Bible study time, and we're in the Word of God, and we're looking at the covenant. And right wherever you are at, please feel free to join in, if you will, and give us a call during this time at 712-432-3066, and you're going to have to put in the access code, which is 229-829, and you can join in with Dinner for Two. Tanya, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
You know what, as I was about to come online, I was thinking that when the truth comes and you are being anointed with truth, the possibilities for the intervention of God, even while you're listening, is infinite. You can be saved, you can come into the knowledge of the truth and accept the covenant even while we're talking. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
And also, you can receive the Holy Spirit. This has happened in my ministry many a times where people were listening to the Word of God and received the Holy Ghost. And I am telling you, I'm excited about the technology that we have because the anointing is the anointing. It can be captured. Truth can be captured. The Holy Spirit moving upon the word, upon the waters, if you will, can be captured, so it is forever sealed. So I thank God for that. Let us continue our study now in dealing with the covenant. We will learn how to walk in newness of life by the new and living way, and that is through Jesus Christ. We will learn why the law of Moses carries condemnation and how to free ourselves from that condemnation and in the process freeing our faith from it. We are learning and will learn what an unpurged, defiled conscience is and how to escape it. We will discover how God purges the conscience of sin and learn to walk in the liberty of grace. And most of all, at the end of all of this, we should have examined how the covenant of Jesus Christ is better than the covenant of Moses. So, Tanya, if you will, turn to Romans, the third chapter. We have defined the covenant and looked at the two types of covenants. We have, if you will, made reference to Amos 3 and 3, that how can two walk together except they agree? And the covenant is on the terms of God, not on the terms of man. You know, we cannot just sit here and dictate faith. God initiates it, God comes up with the plan, and he allow us to enter into the plan. And I'm better that God is doing it instead of us, because we may leave something out. So let's thank God for Jesus. Now, Jesus taught that the covenant transferred from Moses to himself, and we are only to touch him now and his spiritual tools. So, Tanya, do you have Romans, the third chapter?
Yes.
Would you read, if you will, the 20th verse?
Sure. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Wow. What we're going to do now is compare the law of Moses to the law of Jesus Christ. Number one, the law of Moses came, by the law of Moses, came the knowledge of sin. Tanya, would you repeat that?
Sure. The scripture?
No, what I just mentioned.
By the law of Moses came the knowledge of sin.
Now, everyone that is listening, if it's at all possible, would you repeat that? By the law of Moses came the knowledge of sin. And now go ahead and read your scripture again, Tanya.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Wow. Let us look. How did the knowledge of sin come about? The knowledge of sin came about because of Moses. God dissolved the first covenant because it was unprofitable for righteousness. We have already established that. The law of Moses was not given to prove our righteousness. So if the law of Moses was not given to prove our righteousness, why do we try to use it to prove our righteousness? It was given to prove that there is a conflict between God and man. And you see this with people every single day, Tanya, as they walk around. They are literally upset. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
They are literally upset. Now, people are upset with God. And they try to project that on others. And if you are not meeting the conditions of what they consider to be the law of Moses, and you are a Christian, they judge you by that law and want to bring you into, if you will, the condemnation of that. There is the law provides this conflict, if you will, or the law proves this conflict exists every time you feel convicted of your wrongdoing. There is a tremendous pressing desire that we form a bond with God by the moral code. And life is used to test the moral code, whether or not it is of gold or stubble. God breaks the marriage between the moral code and the law to release you from the penalty of sin, which the law confirmed in you. What am I saying? Is this all a bunch of mumbo jumbo? No, it is not. We live by the moral code that God has given us, and we judge life according to that code, and the law of Moses is a governor of that moral law. So this is all we have known before we have come into Jesus Christ. This is all we have known until we have come into the faith. But Tanya, read something shocking right now. Read the revolution of God that has taken place in the hearts of people everywhere for 2,000-something years. Read the next verse. That'll
but
be the
now,
first verse.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested.
Wait a minute. But now something happened because of Jesus. But now, hallelujah. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Meaning now, God does not need that law to bring about righteousness. Tanya, isn't that good?
Yes.
Why is it good?
Give me a sec. Repeat that statement.
Isn't it good
mm-hmm.
that God brought about righteousness without the law?
Yes.
And why?
Because on a personal level, if I had to abide by the laws of Moses and keeping the commandments, I don't think I'd make it, and I couldn't live up to that degree of righteousness. I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it. And how many of you can say the same thing, that you would not be able to do it? Look at this. Continue to read your verse, if you will.
Okay.
Read 21 through 23.
Okay. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Wow. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, which is by faith, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Aren't you glad you believe? God dissolved the first covenant because he was establishing new knowledge in Jesus Christ for our righteousness, that we no longer live by the knowledge of sin, but by the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Now, one might argue that the preaching of the cross is the power of God to us for repentance. Yes, if you are a sinner. But what happens if you're a Christian already, if you're a believer already? The preaching of the cross is the power of God to form the life of Christ in the soul apart from the law of Moses by a new law of grace and truth. Tanya, would you please say grace and truth?
Grace and truth.
That came by Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So this is our new law. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is no longer convicting you of sin because you have not believed on him. His role now is to confirm Jesus Christ. That is a whole new work of the cross that God wants you to enter into. Paul prayed and he said, should I travail again till Christ be formed in you? In other words, now God is looking for Christ to be formed in you, looking for you to bear the image of Jesus Christ. This is what faith is going to get us to. Hallelujah. Tanya, turn your Bible to Exodus 31 and 18. Exodus 31 and 18. So the first thing we looked at in a contrast was that we looked at the law of Moses, and by that law of Moses came the knowledge of sin. And the contrast is by Jesus Christ comes the knowledge of our righteousness. We're contrasting the two, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And so far, if you will, the covenant of Moses and the covenant of Christ, so far the covenant of Jesus is looking a lot better. Hallelujah. Do you have Exodus 31 and 18?
Yes.
The law of Moses was written in stone. Number two, this is a contrast. The law of Moses was written in stone. Look at Exodus 31 and 18.
Okay. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God.
Is that something that can be handled?
Yes.
Is that something that can be touched?
Yes, it can.
Then God did away with it. Wow. God did away with it. God designed the law as the governor of the moral code until Christ should come and give us a new law in himself. In Romans chapter 7, God reveals that the law written in stone has no power to change the heart. Tanya, do you understand that?
Yes.
The law of Moses had no power to change the heart. The law of Moses is likened to a first husband to which God bound mankind to show us that the flesh has no power to please him. Every effort of the flesh is met with more conviction of sin. By dissolving the marriage to Moses, God is changing our orientation from sin to righteousness. So we are moving from a sin consciousness to a righteous consciousness. Look at Jesus. Hebrews 10 and 16. What does that say?
Just a moment.
The law of Jesus, grace and truth, is upon the tables of the heart. The law of Jesus, grace and truth, is upon the tables of the heart.
Hebrews 10:16.
Yes. Now
this
hold
is...
on to that because I want to. I'm going to read John 1:14, and it says here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is speaking of Jesus. I wanted to bring that out because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Tanya.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them.
Where is he going to put it at?
He will put my laws, he will put his laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them.
Can that be touched?
No.
Can that be handled?
No.
Are you understanding where we're going with this? All right. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. God dissolved the first covenant because he was establishing a new law in Jesus Christ, the law of grace and truth. So let us look at John 1:16 and 17. And I believe I read John 1:14. Let us look at that. Let us go there, Tanya. John.
Okay. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall
John
see me.
John 1.
I'm sorry, I thought you said John 16.
Now, you that are listening, this is live Bible study, okay? So we're going from there. Bear with us.
Misunderstanding. Okay. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This came by Jesus Christ, abolishing what God had done with Moses. The often repentance that we see in the church is not a product of the law of grace and truth, but a product of the law of Moses. Our faith, or your faith, reflects the one you are joined to. your faith reflects the one you are joined to. Tanya, elaborate on that.
Okay. Well, this is in reference to the two different covenants?
Yes.
And how my faith is connected
well,
to...
Well, if your faith... Elaborate. Do it this way. If your faith is joined to Moses, what do you think you would produce? And if your faith is joined to Jesus Christ, what do you think you would produce?
Okay. Well, let's start with Jesus. If my faith is connected to Jesus, then I'm going to be remembering and pondering that I am the righteousness of God because of Jesus. And that he made it okay through his blood. And then when I mess up or sin, he's still the cure for that. And so I'm not thinking that I'm so bad and I'm not going to be condemned. However, in contrast with the law of Moses, and if I'm connected to that covenant, then I'm going to constantly be thinking about what have I done wrong, what did I do wrong, and even when I've asked for forgiveness, I may constantly be thinking about what I did wrong instead of repenting, changing, healing, and moving on.
All right. The law of Moses is capable of challenging the moral code to help you make better life choices now. And this is not under investigation. What is under investigation is the author of our fruit. God is the author of the fruit that is born of your soul because of the work of Jesus Christ, not Moses' moral code. So, let us recap and let us understand. We're going to go over this again, but number two, we're looking at, and we're contrasting, the law of Moses was written in stone. The law of Jesus, grace and truth, is upon the tables of the heart.
And the mind.
And the mind. Number three, here's a contrast. The law of Moses condemned the heart for sin. This is what you were just talking about, Tanya. The law of Moses condemned the heart for sin. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 9. I oftentimes wonder how in my, if you will, 30 years of going to church, Tanya, how some people can still be in the same mindset as they were when I met them 30 years ago. The law of Moses cannot produce the change in the heart. Do you have 2 Corinthians 3 and 9?
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Now, Paul further taught, the commandment which was ordained to life was supposed to show you your condition, that we would turn to God, that we would put our trust in him. Paul says, I found to be unto death, it did not hold the power for change, but only conviction of sin. Only conviction of sin. It had no power to change. Romans 7 and 10. God would say, I gave you the law to show you your condition, to show you a conflict exists, but I will not allow you to rest because the conscience I put there would not allow you to rest. If it were not for the law, you would not know this conflict existed. But now you turn to me for your hope, and that is the purpose of the law. The law is good. It fulfills God's purpose. Okay, so please understand, the law is good, and it fulfills God's purpose, conviction of sin. not to change you from sin, but to convict you of sin. Romans 7, 10 through 12. So the law is good in that it convicts us of sin. It does not change us from sin. So we have to have something better. While the law of Moses spoke to the flesh to restrict its expression, the law did not reach into the inner man to bring healing and equity, as you just mentioned, Tanya. It does not have the power to heal your soul. This is what the law of Moses could not do, and therefore it is weak and unprofitable for your faith. The law of Moses required stewardship to teach the principles of the law, and the law of Jesus Christ requires stewardship to teach his new principles to the people. Now let us contrast the law of Moses in that it condemned the heart of sin, and let us look at Jesus. For in Jesus, the contrast is the law of grace and truth, which are in Jesus Christ, frees the heart from sin. Tanya, this is very important. You that are listening, this is very important, because if you can get this right now, if you can get this while I'm speaking, if you can play this over again, you will come to understand that you can experience freedom and deliverance in Jesus Christ right now. Tanya, look at James 1:25. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Father, I thank you and give you praise. I bless your name because I believe right now that someone is looking at these scriptures and they're looking at the contrast and they are being illuminated. They're receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're receiving the revelation of grace. They're coming into an understanding that they do not have to live in the bondage of the law. They do not have to live in the moral code, but they are free to live by the law of grace and truth. I give you praise, and I thank you for that right now. Tanya, go ahead and read James 1:25.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Look at this. God dissolved the first covenant because the law of Moses had served its purpose. By it, man came to understand that he is imperfect and incapable of pleasing God. Jesus said, I am the truth, John 14:6, which means I am the law and principle you are to follow for righteousness. Let me say that again. We are following Jesus, people. We are following Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your works. It's not about your thoughts. It's not about your interpretation of scriptures. And Lord knows it's not about the law of Moses. We are following Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth, which means I am the law and principle you are to follow for righteousness. Is there another way that we can live unto God? No. No. God now uses the law of grace and truth to set the boundaries for our faith in the new covenant. Now, please wake up and understand. If you can talk about, you can believe God for your houses, you can believe God for your cars, your jobs, to change your finances, to change your relationships, to change your situations and circumstances. If you can define the law, if you can define faith outside of the covenant, now come into the truth and define faith in the covenant and the restrictions that God have on faith, and you will really live. You will really live. You will come to experience life in your soul. You will experience the transformation in your soul, in your mind, that is weighted down with guilt and sin. You will come to experience Jesus, who came not only to save your spirit, but to save your soul. God now uses the law of grace and truth, as I mentioned, to set the boundaries for faith in the new covenant. These boundaries bring new restrictions to faith. The restrictions of grace and truth removes the power of sin upon the flesh by moving the pattern of faith from the flesh to the spirit. This is because the law of grace and truth are set in Jesus Christ, who set the pattern of faith in himself. His commandments of grace and truth are written within the heart to free the soul from the pattern of sin and death, thus freeing the conscience from guilt and shame. You are not guilty. Tanya, say that.
I am not guilty.
And let's say it for the people.
You are not guilty.
Hallelujah. Rest in that today. Rest in that understanding as you play this CD over again, as you rewind, if you will, and listen to this message again. You are not guilty. As it pertains to us approaching God and operating in the covenant of God. Romans 8 and 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Why don't you live today? Live out of the law of grace and truth, which Jesus comes to free you in your heart from sin. Oh, I'm saying a lot, and your mind has to catch up to what is going on in the spirit, but you can get there. I said you can get there, because I have seen many people shout. I have seen many people praise God. I have been to church, and we have a charismatic ministry, if you will, and people are praising God, and they're clapping their hands, and they're rejoicing, but out of all of that, it did not have the power to change their soul. Yes, I said it, and I say it again. It did not have the power to change your soul. So you shouted on Sunday, and you doubted on Monday. It had no, all of the good music had no power to change your soul. And we have some soothing music for the soul. It soothed the soul. It comforted the soul. But it did not change the soul. So we have people still in bondage to sin, in bondage to themselves, and in bondage to the devil, because we would not embrace the truth or have not been adequately taught the truth. But a new day has come upon us, and the revolution has begun. We have to look at what God has given us, and that is the new covenant, and how faith operates in that new covenant. I believe we're going to look at one more contrast today, and we're going to wrap it up for today's session. But Tanya, look at Hebrews 10 and 2. Father, I thank you and give you praise and give you glory that your people are getting the word of God. They are receiving the word of God, and their minds are being changed, and we are being conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 10 and 2. Do you have it, Tanya? I beg your pardon. Hebrews 10 and 2.
For then, would they not have ceased to be offered?
I'm having a little problem hearing you.
Okay, let me try it now. How about now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year.
What do you say? Those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Listen, saints, God seekers and covenant keepers. Sin, being the force of that system, made its presence known, but the state of the conscience was still defiled. We constantly sought equity of our conscience by the law because the conscience bore testimony about the condition of the soul. What are you saying in my mind? I knew in my conscience by the law, I knew the condition of my soul. People use the law. If you demand this of me, then I will change this because my conscience says I am weak. So I will do everything the law says and I will be strong. But it doesn't work out that way. You never become stronger. You just are convicted of sin again and it is brought to remembrance. The contrast. By the law of grace and truth, we keep Jesus in remembrance. Luke 22:19 says, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." What am I saying and where am I going and where am I getting at this? We are to remember Jesus Christ. This covenant understanding and teaching is about knowing the terms God bound himself to for our contact with him for righteousness. The covenant of grace is not as the covenant of the law. It has different knowledge, different tools, a different law, and a different priesthood. Please understand that, and we will learn all about this as we are looking into the covenant. And when we look into the covenant and we live by the covenant, your life is going to be free and all of these crazy burdens and traditions that we carried around will be broken and you will be able to stand in the conviction of the covenant and knowing that God has accepted you because you have met the requirements of the covenant. You have met the requirements of the new covenant, if you will, the law of grace and truth, and you have been freed from the law of Moses. It is so important now that we understand and come into this understanding so that our souls can be changed, so that we can experience the transformation and the transition of our soul from death to life. And Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. And I know someone pointed you to things. I know someone pointed you to your life, but he is not trying necessarily to save your life because he told you if you lose it, you'll find it. He is saving your soul. The virtues of Christ do not speak of the flesh, but speak of him, and we overcome the kingdom of darkness through his virtues being transformed or being formed within the heart. We are overcoming darkness and the kingdom of darkness through his virtues being formed within the heart. The instruction of the law of Moses brought sin to remembrance, while the instructions of law and grace and truth release the soul from condemnation as we are in remembrance of Christ and the reality of his virtues being formed within. Please understand, he came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Father, I thank you right now for those that are listening. You have to, Tanya, tell me something about how this message is challenging in the mind.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a spiritual message, and it's solid food. It's just not something where you could take it, you know, something like, I'm going to compare it to fast food. You fast food, you eat it, and it satisfies you at that moment, but a couple of hours later, you're hungry again. This is strong food. And I know that me, when it comes to certain foods, like let's take a rich chocolate. I'm used to eating the stuff you can just go down to the corner drugstore and eat and purchase. It's not that rich chocolate, but my body is used to that. Now, when I have to, when I eat the finer chocolates, I can't take it. It's hard for me to digest. Makes me nauseous. And I liken that with what we're talking about with the covenant to strong meat or to strong chocolate or rich chocolate. I could be so used to the quick words that, and all of God's word is good, but we're used to messages that at times don't require us to have much growth. Just quick and easy messages that, you know, we know them to be true. And when the message is being delivered, we take it and we know it's true, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily change us. But this message, because we're comparing the old and the new covenant, to think, okay, I am the righteousness of God, to think that God's laws will be on my heart and in my mind. It's hard. You have to sit back and you have to let that word be absorbed in your mind because it's not easy. It's just, like I said, it's strong meat. It's rich chocolate. And it takes a discipline to receive what's being taught. And I'm not used to, on a personal level, being that disciplined in all areas of my life. So for me, it's like, okay, you're going to have to sit back and listen and decipher and understand and apply yourself, my life, to what's being taught. Yes.
Wow. Well, people like to say salvation is free, and I beg to differ. First of all, it cost Jesus his life. And in the context of salvation being free, if you were to say yes, well, it is definitely not free of responsibility. We have to respond to grace with faith. So we will have some definitions on the next at the next session, and we're going to learn some things, and we're going to apply ourselves, and we're going to keep covenant with God. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. All the God seekers and covenant keepers, be blessed of the Father.